Syria's foreign minister is warning the U.S. not to conduct airstrikes against the Islamic State or ISIS inside Syria without the consent of the Syrian government. Now, there are those who say there has to be a response, punishment, for the beheading last week of American journalist James Foley by ISIS, which captured the journalist in Syria in 2012. Others are calling for a response before ISIS comes to the U.S., and the White House is considering the airstrikes. Military analyst Andrew Basevich is a professor of international relations and history at Boston University's Pardee School of Global Studies. He's also a retired Army colonel who served in Vietnam, and we always note his son was also military and was killed in the Iraq War in 2007. And Professor Basevich joins us once again in the studio. Welcome, as always.
Thank you very much.
And we've spoken before, and you know there are those who think that, you know, well, wouldn't you, of all people, want retaliation or punishment after the death of someone else's son, being James Foley, of course. You say what?
Well, I say that the anger and outrage caused by this horrible event are certainly understandable, but anger and outrage don't make an appropriate basis for policy. I mean, policymakers, particularly in matters related to the use of force, need to think coolly and need to think about, what comes next after we avenge ourselves.
Yeah. Well, so the first call is for, as you say, avenging, revenge. The second call is for trying to stop ISIS because of this fear that it's really growing. Let's listen to something General Martin Dempsey, chair of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, said last week about ISIS.
This is an organization that has an apocalyptic end of days strategic vision, which will eventually have to be defeated.
So your thoughts there, that it has to be defeated?
Well, I think, General Dempsey is a very prudent man, and I think he accurately described ISIS's vision. But we have to take into account ISIS's capabilities. And there, the capabilities are real, but they are nonetheless limited. And when I say limited, I think we should exercise care in recognizing that ISIS does not pose a significant threat to the United States of America. ISIS does pose a threat to the people who live in the region, and certainly ISIS's actions contribute to the further instability of that region. We may note parenthetically an instability to which we ourselves contributed by invading Iraq back in 2003. So point number one is, it seems to me, don't exaggerate the threat as you think about what needs to be done to deal with the threat.
But devil's advocate, if it's a threat to stabilization in Iraq, isn't that a threat to the U.S.? We see, when a country devolves, first of all, you have more and more people joining the cause. Maybe those people come back here. Isn't general instability a threat to the U.S.?
I really don't think it poses a direct threat to your safety and to my threat. But the larger point you're making, I think, is a good one. We do have an interest in trying to restabilize the region. And the question becomes, to what degree, what actions on our part can in fact contribute to that outcome? And there I become a little bit cautious about the notion that somehow military intervention is the answer. Why am I cautious? Because we have been intervening in that region. Specifically, we've been engaged in a military intervention in Iraq that dates back to 1991, and it's difficult to see over the period of time since then that the country has gotten any more stable. So yes, we'd certainly like to see the Iraqi people get their act together. It's not clear to me that military action on the part of the United States contributes to that outcome.
Yeah. Well, staying with Iraq for a second, couldn't those who propose the U.S. policy, we're talking about U.S. policy, couldn't those who propose that the U.S. policy be more airstrikes in Syria? The success that the airstrikes seem to have in Iraq. We remember that the U.S. was conducting those airstrikes against ISIS to try to help rescue the Yazidis who were trapped on a mountain. And it was said that those airstrikes were very successful.
Yes. I guess the position I take is this. In order to eliminate the threat that ISIS poses to regional stability, that will require an effective ground combat force. I would accept the notion that American air power can complement and reinforce the effectiveness of that ground force. But it doesn't seem to me that we ought to be the ones to provide the force. So the question becomes, who can we partner with? The Peshmerga, despite some recent setbacks, the Kurdish force, has a reputation for being relatively effective. Can the United States use its air power to further enhance Peshmerga's effectiveness, and that Peshmerga then becomes the force on the ground that can deal with ISIS? That seems to me to be a scenario that ought to be explored and could potentially yield a positive outcome.
You know, I think I know the answer to this next question, but I want to answer it anyway. You are saying that outrage over the murder of James Foley should not determine U.S. policy. Would you flip that? Because as we know, ISIS declared that James Foley was killed because of U.S. policy, because of the airstrikes. So should the U.S. not consider airstrikes because more Americans held hostage might be killed by ISIS?
No, I don't think so. I mean, in the same sense that our justifiable anger over Mr. Foley's murder shouldn't determine policy, the converse of that is the possibility that other individuals, brave journalists, could be abducted and murdered. That should not be a reason for us to refrain from doing actions that are actually prudent. The real question here is, what's prudent? What role the region is now in such turmoil? I mean, before I came in here, I read that we've now got Egyptian airstrikes in Libya. The region is in such enormous turmoil that it's very difficult to imagine what the United States can do to make a big difference. One thing we ought to do is not make things worse and precipitate ill-considered military action, if we go by the record of the past quarter century, does tend to make things worse.
Well, so just in the minute we have, you've said, you know, don't have airstrikes, you know, have U.S. policy for retaliation. That's not a surprise from you. You've said that in the past. Consequences are more important than getting even. And it sounds like you're saying don't have the airstrikes with the thought in mind that they might wipe out ISIS. It's a much bigger problem than that. But do you think it's a good idea for any other reason to have airstrikes right now? Because this is what the U.S. is considering in Syria.
I think that if there is a force on the ground that we can partner with some expectations of that force on the ground being effective against ISIS, then that's a reasonable course of action. But I also caution you to say, even if through some miraculous effort on the part of Peshmerga, they destroyed ISIS tomorrow, let's not kid ourselves in somehow thinking that the larger crisis of the region is going to be resolved. That crisis is going to continue for a long, long time.
Andrew Bacevich, retired colonel, served in Vietnam, also professor of international relations and history at Boston University's new Pardee Center for Global Studies. Thanks, as always.
Thank you.